For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
In a non-diplomatic way.
Two reasons. One, he can always...
I only asked you for one, the biggest one.
So because he can claim, because he has plausible deniability. He can just say the truth is on the tape. He hasn't played a lot there. I focus on the guys who are playing a lot. I really do think that he can say plausible deniability. But since that's not really a sexy reason, I think he does not feel like, rightly or wrongly, that Johnson is enough of a threat that talking smack to him that way could come back to bite him. And I think he wants to make it known, because I think most people kind of assumed it was Mike that was helping really drive the decision to trade Deontay away, that he's winning the battle right now. My team's got a better record. You've already been traded by the team we traded you to. You only got 5 snaps last week. I'm winning the divorce here. And he thinks he's going to, I think, win it moving forward. And so I think that there is enough, and I don't say this with like any insider knowledge. This is just...
You have moles. I mean,
This is not a molesy mole situation. I just get the sense he does not like the person here, and is more than happy to take pot shots. And the fact that he so rarely does that, by the way, makes me think he really doesn't like the person.
Because I was about to say, there's had to be games where he's been forced in his spiel about the other team to compliment players that he honestly doesn't like.
I'm trying to think. Usually when we think about that, though, you know what it was? I couldn't remember it till it just popped in my head. Do you remember that right after, the next time they played Cleveland, I want to say after the Rudolph Garrett incident, I feel like he took pains to not mention Garrett as much as you otherwise
would. Right.
And he was we knew that he was pissed at Garrett, that he backed Rudolph completely and emphatically, like immediately after the game and continually he backed him. And then it took a while, I think, for him to cool off on that one, because he knows Garrett's one of the best players in the league. But I remember the next time he had cause to talk about him before a game, it was notable, like the degree to which he avoided mentioning their best defensive player.
So the more I've thought about this, I don't think when it's not the heat of the moment, I don't think Tomlin would do it for Tom pettiness. I don't think that it's, I don't think it's a petty comment. I think it comes off that way. I want it to be that. I think because it's Tuesday and he uses this to get a message out both to his players and to the other team, I think he's trying to get a football edge from it. And so I'm trying to figure out exactly what that advantage is.
He thinks that he's not one of their best weapons and he wants Harbaugh to use him more?
So that's something to consider. Can I... Not only that, yes, like not only... That type of, can I bait John Harbaugh into turning this into, let's win one for the Gipper. Mm-hmm. Let's rally around Deontay Johnson and not just make him like a mascot. Let's actually incorporate him into the game and make him one of the heroes of this game. Not only do I think Tomlin might look at it that way, but also knowing that it's such a highly emotional game, I could see him telling his team on Monday, see this guy put up a picture of Deontay or a video of him. He's dead to us now. He was here. He now plays for the enemy.
He is the enemy.
He is the enemy. And a lot of you guys still text him, evidently. But I'm going to drive home the point that he's... Like, remember when Chuck Knoll controversially was asked about Franco Harris and he said, Franco who? And that did not really sit well, I think, with not only Franco, but...
Do you think Chuck Rooney's lost that one in the battle of public opinion, though?
Yes, that was not one of his better moments. I think that there's a lot of that, potentially a lot of that going on here. Like, you're going to ask me about Deontay Johnson, so I'm required to give an answer, and I'll give you a brutally honest one. But I've already told my team, like, we take this game so seriously, and it means so much to us that this guy, he wanted out of here. and he ends up in Baltimore, kind of F him. Rile his guys up that way. And sounds like Queen is doing some of that today, too, now. Talking about how he didn't even get a contract offer from the Ravens, and he feels so disrespected by it.
Said he hasn't talked to DaCosta or Harbaugh since all that went down. Tomlin could also just say Deontay wanted out of here, and now he thinks he's in a place where the grass is greener. Are you going to let him have that win?
Yep.
Harbaugh, by the way, has apparently been, this week, has said he expects Deontay's usage in their offense to go up.
Sweet.
I am made aware of this by a Twitter feed called the Coach Speak Index that tracks what coaches say and then lines up whether or not what they say about something like this matches, as in, like, if he has a better, like, more snap count this week, then they would consider that a reliable coach speak to workload indicator.
Oh, that would be very useful for, like, fantasy football stuff.
I think that's probably what it actually exists for.
Donnie, more pettiness or more subterfuge here? More Tom Petty or more about the, like, trying to get an edge in the game situation for
and
you?
And he won't back down.
I miss Tom Petty, man. All right.
He's running down a dream of beating Deontay Johnson badly.
I think it's just a message from him, because you guys already brought it up. Like, he doesn't normally do stuff like this, even if he doesn't really care for the player. And we know how much he's prepped going into every Tuesday. He had to have made it a point with the people, you know, with Bert and the rest of the PR people, like, yeah, if they bring it up here, like, I'm going to say this, and I'm not going to feel bad about it. I really just think it is so clear, his disdain for the guy, Deontay Johnson.
Do you put stock in that he is trying to get John Harbaugh to make Deontay Johnson?
Is he trying to work him into
game?
A shoot, Donnie? Is that what's happening here?
Pretty much,
yeah. Do you
like
buy that?
Like, daring him to play?
Yeah, do you buy that?
I didn't really think of it that way. I mean, I guess it makes sense. But then you also have to be ready to go with the fact of, okay, what if this guy does go into the game and burn us?
How about Tomlin thinking that it's going to get Deontay off his game? Because he's going to take it so personally, now he's going to try to do too much. That's when maybe drop footballs happen, because he starts moving with the ball before he actually secures
the catch.
I'm
laughing at the thought of him.
He starts running backwards to make more yards.
I'm laughing at the thought of him doing a Tecmo Bowl run, like where he catches a 4-yard out, dodges the first guy, goes all the way back, like across, like runs 150 yards to get 11.
How about that theory, Don?
I think I could back that a little bit more. I mean, I also think what will really mess up the player, if he gets into that game and let's say Jackson throws him a pretty easy ball and he drops it, it's going to be like the friggin' Johnny Cueto game for that guy.
I agree.
If he, you know, if it, I don't know, whatever it may be, a screen, a quick slant, like Jackson puts the ball right on his hands and he drops
it. Well, I did dub him Deontay Dropson. It would be an honor, and I would give everybody, all 68,000 that'll be there, permission. If everyone is young, just breaks out into a drops in chant, that would be one of the better moments of my life. I'll be there.
You will be.
I will be, but I'll be in the press area.
Covering it.
Kind of, yeah.
Hmm.
Somebody needed a favor done, so I obliged. Because that's the kind of guy I am, Malzi.
Somebody needed a favor, and the favor involves you hanging out in the press area.
Yeah.
But not really covering the game.
No, I'll be really... I guess I made it sound like I didn't have a big job or anything like that. I don't know. I'm just trying to stay humble. Lamar Jackson.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Talking to reporters in Baltimore, was asked a few minutes ago, why you stink against the Steelers? He said, I don't know. We'll see if there's another chapter added to that book on Sunday. Steelers and Ravens. Baltimore, a 3-point road favorite, despite the fact that the Steelers have a better record and absolutely have a better defense. Let's go all access with someone who knows both teams in depth, Aditi Kinkabwala, NFL on CBS, based here in Pittsburgh, brought to you by Bet365. Aditi, what's your theory on why Lamar struggles against the Steelers the way that he does?
I think that the Steelers' defense, I think it's familiarity. No, but the Steelers' defense plays Lamar more than just about anybody other than, of course, the other division foes. They've always got an unbelievably stout defense, and that's part of it. It's not, you're not surprised or thrown by what he does. Really quickly, though, I do want to go back to something. I was listening to you in the car, and you were talking about why Sunday Night Football didn't take the Steelers-Ravens game.
Oh, yeah, this is great because you're from CBS. You can probably answer this.
So I believe, I'm not 100% sure, but I believe that CBS is guaranteed at least one divisional matchup in the AFC divisions, and the other Steelers-Ravens game was already taken, I use the word taken, was given to Fox. So, you know, for anybody who doesn't remember, historically or traditionally over the course of the last whatever 10 years, the AFC, CBS is home to the AFC, and the NFC was on Fox. And in the last couple of years, that's been shaken up. Is it this year? Is this year the first year that it's been shaken up?
No, it's been happening. It's been a few now, Aditi, but you're onto something here.
Exactly. So anyway, so because all the best quarterbacks are in the AFC and all the marquee matchups are in the AFC, now Fox gets some AFC matchups. Like, you would never think that Ravens Steelers would ever be a Fox game, but it is this
year. That's a Saturday game before the Christmas Day game against the Chiefs. So
right. So, but part of this anyway is that you can't take both Steelers Ravens from CBS, just like you can't take both Cowboys Eagles from Fox.
Ah.
So I suspect that the Steelers did indeed protect Bills Chief, which they would have. And then Steelers Ravens was also essentially protected because it's the only Steelers Ravens game they have. I think that, I mean, that's what I'm surmising. It's not like I called David Burson, who's the president of our network, and said, "Hey, is this completely, totally correct?" But
well, Pony loves that level of detail, Aditi, and I appreciate it as well. But I'm going to grab the steering wheel and then make an extremely hard left turn back
hard
onto
right
the
turn? Oh, left.
Hard
okay.
left, hard right. It doesn't really matter. We're just getting back onto the field. What do you think, if anything, is different about Lamar Jackson this year versus any previous season as far as what he is on the field and what he means to that offense and how he functions in that offense?
You know what, Lamar Jackson, what Todd Monken, who is now in his second year as the offensive coordinator, was adamant about the fact that he really wants Lamar to be a part of the design and build of this offense. And he really believes that the greater investment Lamar feels that he has in the offense, the better Lamar will be, the greater ownership Lamar feels he has. And so I know that he has been more intimately involved in the offense than he ever has been before. And the other thing I would say is that Lamar Jackson really and truly, you hear this from players everywhere. Oh, all I want to do is win. All I want to do is win. Lamar Jackson really and truly, really, 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 truly is motivated by the desire to win and not much else. You think about him, a multiple MVP, a dynamic athlete, unlike just about anybody in the game, a level of, albeit regular season, but success. And he doesn't do anything to market himself, to get big endorsement deals, to be out there in any way. He's not talking to a speech coach about doing more public appearances. All he cares about is getting better on the field and winning. And again, we hear this from a lot of great players, but there are some that are 100% sincere, and that's him. Like, that's all that's driving him right now. And sure, he may collect a third MVP, but it's not going to mean much of anything to him if he's not getting to the Super Bowl. So I think what you're seeing is just the continued maturation and improvement. And again, as I said, the ownership of this offense and the way the offense has grown.
Aditi, Mike Tomlin said of Deontay Johnson, "I'm not worried about him because the Ravens have more significant players with bigger roles on the team," which is not the typical tact he takes. Brutal honesty when talking about the opponent. He made Daniel Jones sound like he was the best dual threat quarterback in the league a few weeks ago. Why is Deontay so buried in Baltimore? I mean, he He barely played
against Cincinnati. He's been there 2 weeks. How long has he even been there?
Well, his playing time went down from 1 week to the next. And when he was out there, he slipped and fell on a route. And juxtapose that with Mike Williams, one target, one catch, one touchdown in his first game.
Yeah, don't you feel like this is a really, really, really small sample size to make any sort of big, huge statement right there? I also don't think that Mike Tomlin was taking this, like, very calculated shot at Deontay Johnson. I think what he said was completely truthful. I'd be a lot more worried about Mark Andrews, too. I'd be a lot more worried about Zay Flowers. I'd be a lot more worried about Derrick Henry.
But he never does that. He never does that. He makes the 0-16 Browns sound like they're the 85 Bears, is what our website said, and it was right. He always pumps tires. The guy might as well work at Jiffy Lube. He pumps tires on everybody. He never goes the brutal honesty route when talking about the other team. It was peculiar based on how Johnson exited here. That's all.
All right. I mean, I'll give you that, but I can't speculate as to what. I'm not going to put words
Here's no speculation. The Ravens have the worst pass defense in the NFL. Why does it blow?
It is surprising that the back end is not playing better.
Do you think that there's a specific reason for that, though? Like, is it as simple as they're always ahead in games, and so teams are just filling the air with footballs against them?
That was Tomlin's take.
No, you know, I think that there is a piece of that, but, you know, coaching counts for a lot, and they had a tremendous coach in Denard Wilson, who is now the defensive coordinator in Tennessee. And when Mike McDonald was leaving, there was, you know, Denard Wilson would have been a very good candidate to be defensive coordinator. It's my understanding that could have happened. But Denard Wilson wanted to go somewhere and start fresh. If you're the DC in Baltimore, you're essentially running what is John Harbaugh's defense. It is based on the tenets of John Harbaugh. And so you lost a great coach there. And then in the last, you know, 3 or 4 years, they've lost a lot of really good coaches. Jesse Minter was the DB's coach on that staff. And he, of course, is now Jim Harbaugh's defensive coordinator out in LA. Mike McDonald was the defensive coordinator, and he's in Seattle, obviously, as the head man. Part of this is why they brought Dean Pease back to help.
Dean Pease.
You know, Zach Orr is a good young coach, but he's young. He's young. He's not that far removed from his playing days.
Aditi, last one. Give us somebody who you think is an X factor for the Steelers in this game, and flip side, somebody for the Ravens who's an X factor.
Pat Freiermuth for the Steelers. Mm-hmm. And for the Ravens, I'm going to say Derrick Henry.
He has not played well against the Steelers yet in his career. So
that's kind of why. Like, does he sort of figure it out, or do they completely bottle him up as they generally have?
Tough man to bottle. He is a large individual. I don't know if he's going to fit in a bottle. But anyways.
Hey, can I just say I saw one of our old friends, James Conner, this weekend.
Nice.
And
we love James.
What a play. Yes. And he is playing as well as he ever has in his life. He is just killing it. He is so happy. And you know what? It makes me feel like one of your young kids has flown the nest and is succeeding in every way.
And you also got to see Aaron Rodgers, who came out and said, yeah, I think I'll be back in 2025. But that's a story for another day. Thank you, Aditi.
I spent a lot of time with Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, boy.
All right.
See you,
Aditi. Bye.
Bye.
That seems more like a threat than a promise.
Do you think
from Rodgers
in that production meeting, he's like, I'm telling you, Aditi, put that cayenne pepper in that water.
I made some chili very early this morning, and I had cayenne pepper as one of the ingredients, and I thought maybe I should stir this around and try it.
Donnie, I think, is going to agree with me on this, and I mean this. I honestly think if the Jets had signed Ben Roethlisberger to come out of retirement this year, he could not have played any worse than Rodgers.
How many good halves of football has Rodgers played? Second half against Houston, he was good.
First half against the Patriots, Thursday night.
I thought half against the Steelers because Beanie intercepted him and it turned the whole game.
That is true. First, like, 29 minutes against the Steelers.
I know, but that interception literally turned the game. He's played two good halves of football. It would just piss me off
if he beat
up Jets.
The Patriots. I thought that was like his only like full
if
game.
If I were a Jets player, though, I'd be like, man, not only have we given over total control of the organization to this guy, not only can he not play, he's just unbelievably annoying.
What do those McAfee interviews sound like right
that's,
now?
That's
him?
I guess he was like, they did an expose on did he really pick his nose and eat it. Like, they were practically all 22-ing that.
I was interested in that. What did he say? He denied it, actually.
Yeah, he basically said, I understand that it could be incriminating, but there was no booger eating here. That's what it's come to for a guy that's a four-time MVP.
Donnie Football Debrief, it's brought to you by his friends up on Mount Washington at the Steel Mill Saloon. Big night for Donnie, big night for all of us. But it is Donnie's another piece of evidence that Donnie is now playing in the big leagues. We have a very important event tonight at the Rivers. So many of our sponsors, people that spend money with the station who we care about dearly and want to have a fine evening with them. We have to go do this after the show and entertain these people and have a fun night. Donnie was not there last year. Special request to be a part of it this year, Malzi.
Yeah, not a surprise. On the rise. If this were like an NFL tiers thing, he's moving up into the playoff tier. I don't know
if
anybody else.
He's not in the super ass category, whatever the heck.
He's definitely not ass, nor is he super ass.
PFT commenter calls it.
Big cat.
Big cat.
Is he still doing those tiers?
He is.
Oh, yeah.
He had one that said something about the Rizzler.
Guys who have Riz.
And it was the
Saints. One's the Rizzler and then the Saints new coach.
Yep.
Oh, the guy who clogged the toilet.
Correct.
Oh, there's tons of Riz there.
Also, I got a text. How about this addition to tonight's festivities? Mackie got the call.
Was it a wrong number?
I was a little bit taken aback by that. No offense to Jason, but now contributors to the station. And here's what I hope doesn't happen, because I know how sensitive he can be. And please, Mark, do not take this personally. Is Kabali going to be like, wait a minute, Mackie in? How about me? How about the big guy?
He's probably already typing up a text if he didn't.
Or sending us a message that's like casual, but is definitely got the pretext of, oh, I'm definitely not mad at all. What's that old thing where the guy's mask is over the drawn face
that
that's like
he's furious,
yeah,
but the smiley face.
Yeah,
is
that's a great one.
I'm burying the lead here. How about the person we just talked to? Aditi is notorious for whenever there's a station event and she's not a part of it, for being livid.
Mm-hmm.
Mackie and Aditi out.
If she's still listening to us like she was prior to coming on, we could have problems, admittedly.
Do we know if Callis is in?
Hell no!
I do not know.
I don't think he is. Because
this would be...
I don't think he or Austin is in.
Which Austin did ask me if I was like at this in years past. And I said no, I was not there last year. Actually, I hosted last year.
When he saw that you were in and he was out, did like a sadness come over him? Was there a moment of melancholy? He will be. We know that. Austin's doing a great job.
Austin's got the take that has launched sailed 1,000 ships or whatever here.
Was this now Helen of Troy, for crying out loud?
This respect take.
So he'll get his day in the sun. But who the heck was I going to bring up here? Oh, for Callis. This would have been the ultimate Awaken 180 test. Because
there's a lot of hors d'oeuvres and stuff going around.
Pasta at Monterano's is off the charts. You've got chicken parms, things of that nature.
He said that in his Awaken commercial, though, it was fries and cheese curds or whatever got sent to him, and he
said,
sent them
back.
Take
them back,
baby. He said, give me that salad.
I know, but this is just, oh, do you want fresh mozzarella? Oh,
I know where
want...
he's at, though, in the program, like mentally right now. He's feeling better than he probably has, and I would legitimately say years. And it creates within you a feedback loop. You want to keep feeling good. You want to keep the good times rolling, Pony.
I think he's going to end up on a billboard because of this Awaken thing, and he's going to have the pair of sweatpants.
Like that pants thing where the pants go out like twice the width of his new body?
Yes, that he had when he first started the program.
Oh, that's like a great visual tool to display weight loss.
Can you see it, Donnie?
I can.
Here's
I can
an actual
picture
question.
It now.
Now, if he admits this, so I'm not like speaking out of class here. If he loses the amount of weight that he wants to lose, which is in triple digits,
yep.
Do people's voices occasionally change when they would lose like a dramatic amount of weight?
No, because
like
I've
that?
Seen people that have had the gastric bypass surgery and they look
okay.
way different.
I don't know
they don't
why my brain
I don't
like I
affect
thought
them
like
on the
it
air
could,
that way.
Maybe less huffing and puffing.
Sure. You don't hear the breathing?
I'm happy for the big guy. I think
so
he's probably close to 40
I'm
down
ecstatic
now.
For him. I think it's gonna, now think about this too, how important this event is. Larry Richer taking off the Narduzzi show
to come to
be a
event.
Part of it. Bostic hosting tonight at 6. And
what are you doing here?
I feel like Starkey was not at this thing last year.
I think he was, but he kind of just goes around quasi-nervously.
Oh, because I was going to say, I think he thrives in these settings. I think this is perfect for him. I don't remember Crowley being there. I also think Doran lives for nights like this.
I don't think,
I think Doran puts
Doran
on.
Was Doran there last year?
Yes, he was. He absolutely was.
Crowley was definitely there. I thought Starkey was there. He always comes up, hello, Milesy. Like, it's always like a... I think that's his like favorite go-to move in these settings is to create like an awkward moment with me.
Doran tried to make a comic book joke online, and I think people are taking it as a political stance.
Well, one guy definitely did, and Doran very swiftly put him in his place, and then the guy was like, oh, you're my guy, Doran.
Ooh, did a 180.
Well, there's a lot of that online.
Wait a minute. What are we doing right now?
It's the Donnie football debrief.
Oh, sorry,
he told
Donnie.
Me off the air like an hour ago that I would really like this one, and you have burned through 6 minutes.
Sorry, Donnie.
Well, it's also kind of fitting to what we were just talking about with Harry Callis. The debrief, November 13, 2024. Malzy knows this is an Instagram page that I love to follow. I post things almost every Thursday or Friday if I like their content. The Friday Beers guys.
Oh, they're going to say Taylor Mathis.
No.
You follow her on Instagram? Very good walking bets.
You don't have Instagram, so how do you know of her?
I just heard she's quite profitable, that's all.
You seem to have firsthand knowledge of what these walking bets are.
Yeah, she posts them on Twitter, too.
Oh.
Anyways,
you follow her on there?
I do.
So the Friday Beers guys, they did a Big Fellas offensive line out of TV characters and movies.
We'll go
from left to right. Kind of redundant. Big Fellas offensive line. Like, we know they're going to be big guys.
Sure.
So these are characters
from TV and movies that could be offensive
linemen. That weren't offensive linemen they didn't play offensive linemen in movies?
No.
There's got to be one dude better be on here.
We went from left to right, and then they put two tight ends in here.
Okay.
So we'll start from left to right. Left tackle, they have Fat Bastard from the...
Austin Powers.
Yeah, Austin Powers.
Is he mobile enough, though?
I was thinking the same
thing. Is he athletic enough?
I think he's more like a nose tackle.
Well, so they also have little write-ups for some of these, which I think are funny. True raw talent. Foul-tempered, morbidly obese. The Scottish henchman has the tools to be a top pick in any draft.
If he gets his hands on you, it's over.
Left guard?
Landfill from Beer Fest.
Never seen it. Should I go back and watch it?
It's also the guy that plays
like a stupid watch.
He plays Farva in Super Troopers.
Oh, I love that dude.
Yeah.
You can get him out.
Kevin Heffernan.
He's got one of those road grader mentalities that we like at the position.
A bar of soap, Farva.
I'm gonna guess center John Goodman from Roseanne.
Thank you. I was gonna say, if Goodman ain't on this team, what the hell are we doing?
Not the center. The center is Rubus Hagrid from Harry Potter.
I know nothing about Harry Potter.
Either.
Never read a syllable, never
really?
Seen a minute
Same.
Of the movies. Hagrid sure.
Look up Hagrid. He's the gigantic
an absolute
guy with
unit?
A beard.
See
oh,
a
he's
unit?
Enormous.
Hold on.
He's enormous.
What is his name?
Just look up Hagrid from Harry Potter.
Rubius Hagrid. Okay, here we go. Oh, dude, he's the guy who plays Valentin in 007 in GoldenEye.
Yeah, I think
he's a big
away
boy.
A few years ago, but he's a unit.
He is, yeah.
I think he's almost too big to play center from the way you guys are making
no,
it
he's
sound.
No, he definitely is a leader of men. Absolutely. He's calling out the signals.
Right guard?
Tommy Callahan. Chris Farley and Tommy Boy.
I kind of like
the
this
glue
team
guy.
So far.
The seven-year college veteran.
The esprit de corps with him.
Is incredible. It's off the charts. Guys are going to be willing to, you know, basically lay down their lives on the field for him.
His pregame speeches.
He just puts on a too small jersey before every game and rips it.
And then right tackle?
So it's a John Goodman character.
Walter Sobchak.
It's not in Roseanne. Yes.
Oh, yeah. He's the only player to block another guy by pulling a gun on him.
From The Big Lebowski.
He's not out of his element, dude. He's right in his element. He's right where he should be.
And then who are the tight ends?
Blocking tight end, they went with Peter Griffin. And then the receiving tight end, they went with Paul Blart, the mall cop.
You know what? I think Blart could be the right tackle, and Sobchak might be your receiving tight end.
Kevin James is one of the more fascinating figures in the entertainment business, because he always gets cast as a funny guy, but also a dude that constantly gets hot chicks
in those situations. Yeah, Leah Remini was way out of his league on King of Queens.
Way more than any other heavyset guy. He is always getting the babes.
Man, can you imagine
him... Tickling the funny bone.
Can you actually imagine him auditioning for and landing a role as just a dead serious character in a movie? Do you ever see the movie 1 Hour Photo with Robin Williams? Plays totally against type as like a really creepy, creepy dude.
Was he serious? Was it a drama, the Sean Payton movie he did?
No, come on. All he's doing is, hi, this is Kevin James playing Kevin James as Sean Payton.
I wouldn't say that was serious.
I would love to see him try to, like, just for a role, lose like 50 pounds and just play like a psychopath in a movie. In like a remake of No Country for Old Men, he's Shigur.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.